Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we were talking about the fact that if you love God first, then family, duty, and responsibility will never interfere with your service for God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 38, we read a very interesting passage. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now let me stop here and say this. It's not talking about that if you deny God before men that you're unsaved. When he says confessing him before men is about our witness, denying is not witnessing. If no witness, and as a result you have no stand for right and against wrong, don't expect to have answered prayer. If you won't stand against what is wrong, don't expect answered prayer. He says, okay, if you deny being before men, you're not going to stand, you're not going to witness. Don't expect me in heaven to answer prayer for you, to appear before the Father as your intercessor. Don't expect it to happen. Then he goes on in Matthew 10, verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Now this is Jesus speaking. He says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." This is telling us that Jesus is a divider. Which side, the great divider, do you stand? He goes on to say, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That is, if they compromise, they're just not worthy. "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." In other words, to avoid a subject, to compromise a Bible subject or duty for the sake of a loved one is to love them more than you love God. And that is pitiful in God's sight. If you love God first, then family, duty, and responsibility will never interfere with the things of God. It will only be rebellious family that interferes with the things of God. Jesus says he is a divider. Christ does divide in the home. When men are impenitent, your holiness of life, your identification with Christ, your imitation of him becomes a witness against them. Their security of eternity is challenged, and they realize if you're right, they are even lost. And if they're saved, they realize they're not right with God, and they are carnal when they've always thought of themselves as spiritual. Understand, this passage is looking at discipleship. When you become a Christian, you have been bought by him with his blood. You are no longer your own. And yet, he allows you to choose to be his disciple after you're saved. Again, you cannot say God first and family second if there is anything that you would hold back of Christ and his holy righteousness in order not to offend family. I've seen family get mad at the guy who would go to church on Sunday instead of staying home with them or going to the family reunion. And they might have gone to another city where the family reunion is, but they're meeting at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and he finds a fundamental church to go to, and he's there instead of at that reunion, and they don't like it. But then there are other Christians who have lost that war, and you put family first, and you've shown your family that there are things more important to you than God. And one day, you've got to stand before God as a Christian and answer for that. A lady was upset with the youth director at her church because he had preached standards and he had corrected her child about various things as attitudes, activities that were worldly, and even their dress. And so this lady showed her child that she's going to stand for them. Well, what happened? Well, her son is very far away from God, and the daughter is a very immoral person. Now, could have they turned out that way had she stood the other direction? Yes, they could have. But now that she has not stood that way, if they decide to get right, all they can see is that mom's standards are movable. So what are they going to hang on to that is solid? To not take a stand or to not stand with righteousness never makes your child want to pursue holiness. Don't be deceived into thinking it does. People who oppose Bible preaching, separation from the world as well as being separated unto God, are as those who please not God and are contrary to all men. How are they contrary to all men? When usually they're calling us contrary because they try to prevent the witness of the gospel. They try to prevent the witness of the Holy Word. Sometimes you'll go to a mobile home park, an apartment complex, and they'll have notes, no soliciting, no religious people going door to door, something of that nature. Do you know that there are some Christians that will side with those who try to stop it? And those Christians will have to give an account of that filthy sin before God. These are the kind who try to stop ministries within the church, especially if they are bringing souls to the Savior. Pastor went to a church years ago and found out the church was ran by a family. They did everything. He found out that, well, that he just better do what they say. So rather than to try to fight them, he decided to win souls. He was winning souls, bringing them into the church, and teaching them. Finally, the day came that he had more than the others, and then he stood up and said, "This is how it's going to be." And those people ended up leaving the church. But what was interesting in the middle of that, somebody told the pastor, and I know the pastor who he is. It's not me, but I do know the pastor. One of the members, you might say, from the other side said, "Preacher, we have too many people coming into our church. It's getting beyond our control. You need to stop all this evangelism." That's when he said, "You're the one that needs to go. I have enough people to continue the ministry of God." And he did. Now, let's look at verse 16 here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sin always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." Now, he says to fill up. That means to make the measure of sin quite full, overfilled, ready to break. And what is full and ready to break? Their sins. Sins here means to miss the mark or the true goal and scope of life. It is an offense to the holiness of God. It is seen today in what is called liberty. It's applied to the lust of the flesh. Among so many today, they say, we're not under the law. And they make the sinful mistake of applying liberty to the flesh instead of showing that our spirit is now free from those sins that so easily beset people today. Wrath, here in verse 16, refers to punishment from God. It refers to God's state of mind towards those who would corrupt His word, who would corrupt His church, bringing down the morals and the standards, who would corrupt the way of salvation, preaching an unrepentant salvation, easy believism. And the word uttermost means end, goal, limit, either at the point at which a person or thing ceases or the completion. It does not refer to time here. This is then showing that God will judge and His judgment is complete. Now let's think about that. Noah had 120 years. They were ready to be destroyed then, but God's grace gave them 120 years. In Abraham's day, the iniquity of the Amorites was not full, and God said He would give it 400 years. But judgment did come. With Nebuchadnezzar, it was 1 year. The rich young fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? So the question becomes, how long do you have if you don't repent? Do you realize you do have a personal responsibility, an accountability, and a call to action? Sometimes there is an I, and in the matter of eternity, there is an I in eternity. I must repent and believe the gospel. Do you know that if you die today, heaven is your home? Jesus did all the work for salvation, but the I comes in on your part to repent, believe, and call upon the name of the Lord. What about that thing, repentance? Repentance is discussed over and over. Let me say this. A changed life is not required for salvation. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.